The Lord was so gracious. Yesterday was such an absolutely gorgeous day to be outside. Did anybody notice? Man, I mean, it was just perfect. I have undertaken the effort to try to restructure our thinking, to take what you already know and put it in a frame of reference that might redefine some of what you know to bring us into greater alignment with what God was up to when He initiated His activity in your life. Have you ever paused to seriously consider why He baptized you in the Holy Spirit? Was it so you could speak in tongues? Was it so you could have a spiritual gift? Was it so you could get your merit badge? No. What was He doing? It was His intention to immerse you into an added relational dimension with Him so that you would recognize personally you have been empowered to represent Him and that He will show up to back you up even if you're praying for a Wicca guy with a bad thumb out in public. It's nice to have Jesus show up in public. It just occurs to me in the moment that perhaps one day we'll be out there drunk in public. I don't want to miss that party. When the Holy Spirit shows up and we have to say, these are not drunk as you suppose. I need to do a little backfilling this morning. I undertook with you a few weeks ago to begin to engage this concept of the charismatic activity of the Holy Spirit. I told you I like that phrase because it puts the mental impetus of our thinking where it belongs on God the Holy Spirit. Because so much of how I and some of you I know personally have been indoctrinated into Christianity. Christianity is something you have to do. It's something you got to go make happen. You got to witness. You got to heal. You got to study. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to what? But the charismatic activity of the Holy Spirit recasts that whole notion. It means that His activity gets to be expressed through my life. And the modus of effort is completely different. Do you understand? How many of you are still struggling in your mind, what if I pray and nothing happens? I'm serious. How many of you? Okay, I want you to hold your hands up. I want you to look around. I want you to see how few of you still hold that position. Why is that? Because routinely we see God heal. There shouldn't be many of you left here who hasn't seen God heal through you, because I give you opportunities to do that, to assault that thing and help you see that it is not about you. It is Him doing the work. Now, I want to take this issue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, and back it up a few millennia and look at it so that we start to move out of whatever mentality we had over into the flow of the testimony of God concerning how He empowers us, how He empowers all of His people. For whatever it is He's called you to, He supplies the equipment for that job. And I want to try to help establish the security in our own faith and understanding about that truth. Anybody ever heard of Moses? Okay, good. Moses is probably one of the most significant figures of the entire First Testament. And there's an episode in his interactions with God that I want to highlight this morning. Now, Moses is called a prophet of God. He functions as a prophet of God. He gets things from heaven and he speaks it to people. A prophet is a spokesperson for somebody else. And for us, a prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God. Did Moses have that reputation? Absolutely. Now, there's a prophetic experience that goes along with this. Moses sees somebody burning trash one day. He doesn't actually see anybody putting anything on the bush. It just keeps burning. And as he's out there looking after the sheep, you know, shepherds have a lot of time on their hand to notice what's going on in the tundra. He notices the bush just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. And he's thinking, I need to get some marshmallows and go up there. So he visits the bush, and the bush that's not being consumed talks back. How many know at this point you're thinking, what was I eating? Okay, he's having a face-to-face encounter with God. And God reveals himself to Moses as the one who's going to dispatch him on his behalf into the country Moses fled as a murderer. I'm sending you back to where you ran away from. And have you ever faced that? God made you go back and deal with some stuff? Oh, I love those moments in your life. Moses experiences genuine communication and communion with the living God. Now, the testimony of Moses later on in Exodus 11 is that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent of meeting. Moses is a prophetic picture for us of what it is God wants to have in a relationship with those that he calls, equips, and deploys. He's really quite interested in us having a living communication with him, not a Christmas card kind of relationship, but one in which the Spirit of God speaks, we hear, we respond, and then he does what he encouraged us to do through us. You follow me? So when we look at Moses, we ought not be thinking about just the great leader, just the great prophet, just the great performer of mighty signs and wonders. We need to realize that when the Lord puts these kind of pristine examples in Scripture, he wants us to see something of it in history. He initiated the interaction with Moses. You understand that? He initiated it. Just like he initiated the activity in your life of making his reality known to you. And it wasn't just so you could go to heaven when you die. I hope we've just pretty much disassembled that notion of the gospel of salvation as a substitution for the gospel of the kingdom. But concerning Moses, Deuteronomy 34 records this. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There was nobody else like him except Moses told the people that there is coming a day when the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Let it hang there till you get it. Now that's a pretty bold statement, all right? Because he's a prototype of something. And he's saying there's another one coming. God is going to do this later on. Like me from among your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you ask of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see his great fire anymore, or I will die. Now remember, God had called them to the mountain to engage them personally. He wanted his people to know him, and he said of them, it is my intention that you shall be a nation of priests unto me. But they couldn't deal with his reality, so they struck a bargain. They said, Moses, tell you what, you go talk to him and you come tell us what he says, because we're afraid if we go any closer to this, we're going to die. All right? And so Moses is referencing that experience, and he calls attention to the fact that the God then said, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. Now, this prophet is who? It's Jesus Christ. We'll connect the dots in a moment. But understand what God is saying. They've spoken well. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up a prophet just like you. I'll put my words in his mouth, and they're going to listen to him. And what words did Jesus have? He did not have words of law. He had words of life. So the thing is being set up prophetically for us and unfolds throughout the history until we come to that strategic moment where Christ is made manifest as the anointed of God. We'll get there in a minute. But a prophet like you. Now, I want you to consider this notion, that the Spirit that was upon Moses, that empowered him for the task to which he was deployed by God, that Spirit produced prophetic speech and power demonstrations. Is that a fair assessment? Just a synopsis? He spoke prophetically, and he demonstrated acts of power. And Cecil B. DeMille did us a great service years ago. None of you know who he is now. Somebody needs to remake that movie with new special effects. That'd be so cool. The Ten Commandments, I'm referring to. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, and for the mighty power and for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Now, Moses was the deal in the day. All right? But it doesn't matter how anointed you are for the service to which you're sent. Some days you can just get tired of putting up with people. Anybody ever had one of those days? You just, everybody, please just leave me alone. Okay? Moses had one of those days. I would say he woke up on the wrong side of the rock. Okay? Because he's standing in his doorway. And someday you ought to just read through Exodus and see how many times this people started complaining. I mean, they'd be complaining within 48 hours of the last bunch of complainers being smitten dead. That's how short their memory span was, okay? So Moses is listening one day, and they're all, oh, manna, 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 I'm sick of manna. You know, it's manna pudding, manna bread, manna dessert. You know, I'm sick, I want meat. I remember when we were in Egypt, you know, we had cucumbers and we had leeks and we had fish and it was all free. Isn't it amazing how they forgot the harsh taskmasters and the beatings and the bricks with no straw? Suddenly they look back and everything was free. Isn't memory kind? That's why pictures are so important. They help you deal with what really was going on. But Moses goes out to see God. And you'll understand this phrase. If Moses ain't happy, nobody's happy. And he's grousing at the Lord. And he comes to the point and says, I didn't ask for this job. You sent me. You gave me this bunch of grumbling people. They didn't come out of my loins. They're your people. And if I'm going to have to bear this thing by myself, do me a favor. Just shoot me now. From the great prophet Moses. Paraphrase, but you can read it on your own. And God came up with a plan. He's like that. He said, look, I can tell you're having a bad day. So let me offer this piece of counsel. Why don't you go out there among the people and find 70 men who are elders among the people. And not just elders, people you recognize as elders. And here's what we'll do. Bring them out to the tent of meeting. And that I will come down there and I will take of the Spirit that's upon you and I will put it upon them and they will rule with you so you won't have to bear this burden alone. There, is that better, son? Can we do this? Yeah, we can do this, can't we? Okay. So Moses goes out, he collects the folks. 68 of the 70 show up at the tent of meeting. And the Spirit comes down. God, the glory of God comes down, and he takes of the Spirit that's upon Moses, the prophet, and he puts it on the 68 who are there at the tent, and two who are still in the camp. And what do these 70 do? God takes of the Spirit that's on the prophet Moses and puts it on the 70. And how did the 70 know they got it? They prophesied. Prophetic speech began to materialize. What do you suppose the effect was on them when suddenly they're speaking the things of God under inspiration? Do you think they think, I got it? What do you think the impression was on the people that they're supposed to rule? Do you think they got it? Right. So God comes and gives testimony. He gives personal and public attestation to those He is deploying and equipping and deploying into this new realm of service. He is giving His personal endorsement to them in terms they understand. Some kind of encounter with the living presence of God that says to them, I'm changed. I've actually been equipped. I'm empowered for the task that God is assigning me. Now, whenever new leaders come up, the fans of the former leaders react. And so somebody runs to Joshua and says, Eldad and Medad are down there in the camp and they're prophesying. They didn't come to where they were supposed to be. They're not up here with Moses and they're down there prophesying in the camp and they're not stopping. Joshua says, I'll take care of this. Moses, you got to stop them. Look, man, they're not down there. Doesn't look like they're under your authority. Now, let me suggest to you that God did it on purpose so that the people would know it wasn't Moses they were getting. It was the Spirit of God they were getting. Okay? Then Moses says something very, very prophetic, of course. That's what prophets do. He says, son, are you concerned about my reputation? You jealous for my place in this gang? Listen. I would that God would put His Spirit on all of His people and they would all be prophets. Then they'd have wisdom and I could eat in peace once in a while. Now let me submit to you that when Moses made that statement, he was prophesying a future hope of the day when God would take His Spirit and put it upon all of His people. And I would say to you at 12:25 on a Sunday afternoon, only one-third of the way through my notes for today, don't miss the next exciting episode of the charismatic activity in the life of the church. I'm just going to have to quit. I know you guys. You're already thinking about lunch. But we'll pick up right there and go on. Because we're going to track the activity of God through the people of God down through the activity of God in you. Would that be all right? Now, all I want you to do thus far is this. I want you to be willing. Children's workers going to be upset with me? Okay. I want you to be willing to be adjusted. I want you to be willing to have your thinking adjusted so that you can come into alignment with the reality of why God has empowered you with His Spirit. Okay? Can we go that far today? Good. I'll work with that dozen of you. I'll pray that the Lord twist the arm of the rest of you. Would you stand? It has always been your intention, Father, that we would all know you by the Spirit, that we would all be empowered by the Spirit. We would all know communion with you, spirit to spirit, and that prophetic speech would be characteristic of those who represent you as the prophets, priests, and kings of God. And I invite you to open our mind. Give to us the spirit of illumination as we move forward from this day into the activity, the charismatic activity of the Holy Spirit through our life, putting Jesus on display. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first-time guests, take your card out there, get your gift. What? Candace is going away today for the Honor Academy for a year. So we're going to lay hands on her, impart to her, and send her on her way. If you need prayer this morning, Jay and that crowd that runs with him will pray for you. So come up here and get it. You're dismissed.